Hello and welcome to the Pace Yourself podcast with me, Jamie Nolden. This podcast is all about real life stories of people who have found running to be a powerful tool in navigating life's challenges, whether it's from mental health, sobriety, weight loss, or just coping with everyday struggles. It's all about inspiring others and showing how powerful the simple act of running can be. In this episode, we meet Mal, who turned a casual couch to 5K challenge into a life-changing journey. From struggling to finish the program to unexpectedly completing the Great North Run, running became his lifeline through highs, lows, and mental health battles. Now, with a fresh mindset, new personal best, and some hard lessons learned, Mal's here to share why running just isn't about speed, but it's learning to pace yourself. Welcome, Mal. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So we met on Threads, if I remember rightly. It was through me running and you running. You were a fairly new runner. Well, not now, but you were. And you were looking, I was looking at your posts, if I remember rightly. And they inspired me. So we got in touch and then we talked about your story. So can you give us a update on your story? How did we get into running, what started it, so on and so forth?
It probably started about a couple of years ago now. Just I was casually having some dinner with friends. We got talked about how unfit we had become as we had gotten older, and we suggested that we would do couch to 5k to start with, just as a bit of friendly competition between us. And I've always kind of had a love-hate relationship with running, and I always kind of laugh to say the reason I got into running was because I hated so much. And when we suggested we would do it, we just thought, why not? It's a bit of healthy competition, doing it all at the same time, people to kind of egg each other on to kind of get into it. Mm-hmm. And then I went from there. That was about October of 21, I would say it started. And I've always loved the idea of running, but every time I've tried to do it in the past, it's just not happened for one reason or another.
So did you start, was it with your friends? Was it a case of you just got together? Did you start a program or how did it
all start? We used the Couch 5K as a kind of a basis for kind of what to do. You know, it's quite a set programs. You do three runs a week and gradually get build up over the weeks. It didn't go according to plan. I mean, one friend had to drop out on week three due to kind of injury. Work got in the way of other friends, so it just ended up being myself at the end. That was just running. Tried to do it a few times, didn't get as far as week seven. Did week seven kind of three times, but I was just determined to kind of finish it, get through it. I mean, looking back, I was clearly running the wrong way. Doing couch to 5k, I was kind of running every run as if it was a 10k race and I had to finish it within a certain length of time. I persisted with it and kind of eventually finished it. It took me longer than it should have. I think I finished it the beginning, maybe it's February of 22. But I got there in the end.
Yeah. So going back to the start then, so what pushed you going from the idea of running to actually signing up for that, the Couch to 5K? Was this something you just randomly found and thought, I know people do this? You know, was there a competition element with friends to start?
No, yeah, I think so. I mean, it was the whole kind of thing during lockdown and stuff. Everyone was talking about getting out and being fit, and it kind of was one of those things that kind of came to my kind of eyesight, so to speak, during lockdown when everybody was going out and everyone was, I mean, you could only go out and run for like an hour at one point, couldn't you? And I heard of it. It was just friends that we just said, should we start running? We had all realized we had put on weight. We weren't probably in the fittest that we could have been. So we were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's crack on. And we all chose to do the Couch to 5K.
All right. Because that's one thing I've never done. I never knew about the Couch 5K. I just went sort of straight into runner. So when you said that you had a love-hate relationship with running early on, what were some of the biggest challenges that made you question it? And what made you keep coming back to it? Was it the health aspect?
I think it was just determination. Once I have something in my kind of head that I need to get sorted, then
I will kind of be quite determined to see it through.
Competitive.
Yeah, kind of. And I mean, even to get myself kind of in the mode set of, my mum had ran the Grey North Run in September of 21, which is where the kind of the conversation with friends came from, because the Grey North Run was September of 21. And then I think we got talking about that at dinner, that my mum had just done it and whatever. And then I was like, if my mum can do it, then I'm going to sign up to do it. So at the beginning of 21, the beginning of 22, I entered the barracks for the Grey North Run with my mum, with the idea that we'll do it together. I got in, she didn't. So then I was kind of left to kind of, right, I need to focus on this and do some running. Every time I had tried to do running, I just couldn't do it. I would tire out too quick, and I think that's just because I didn't have a knowledge of how to run, what we should be doing. But to keep myself going, I did have that Grey North Run.
So with repeating week 7 on the Couch 5K,
three times.
Do you think that? Yeah. So do you think that? Persistent helped you shape your running journey. Did you realize more of, actually, I need something better to help me understand running a bit more? Because, like you say, the Couch to 5K is very, is that, I don't know, because I've not seen it, but it's, is there a lot of guidance? Does it tell you to slow down, speed up? You know, like,
so it tells you to. So you initially start by like running for 90 seconds and then walking for like 2 minutes, and you kind of do that number. So the only issue that I mean, the Couch to 5K is a great idea if you just want to have something to guide you to run. But obviously, doing what I'm doing now compared to the Couch to 5K, there's no guidance of how fast you should be running. And when to kind of have the break. I mean, the breaks are, I mean, it's a plan that's been devised by various professionals, and it's good for what it is. I mean, it certainly got me kind of out there running for 20 minutes nonstop. Which
so he did a job. So he did a job.
It did
a job.
Yeah, it did his job. Yeah. And I think what I kind of didn't like with the Couch to 5K in my head is that because I was running too fast, I was always waiting for that cue to kind of say, you can stop running now, you can walk. And it was just trying to kind of, I was concentrating more on what I was listening to rather than concentrating on running. And then as soon as the voice came in to say, stop running now and you can walk, I was like, oh, thank God for that. And then
you were just running at your fastest possible till you got the cue to have a rest, basically.
Yeah.
And that's a big mistake, isn't it?
I felt that's all that I was focusing on when I was running. And it was just, once I did the Couch to 5K, I just got rid of it and then just started to go out running as far as I could, as for as long as I could.
Yeah.
And obviously having that Grey North Run marathon, well, Grey North Run half marathon, where it's kind of spurred me on to kind of know you need to keep going. I've got something to do. I need to focus.
So with your training then for that, obviously the Grey North Run, was it just a case of you was just running as long as you can, stopping? And
yeah.
Did you rest? Did you recover? Do you have days off? Or
so I was kind of trying to do about three runs a week. But I would just go out and then just run as far as I could for as long as I could. And then there was no kind of focus on how fast I should be running. And looking back, and I think that still is one of my big mistakes, is that when I finished the Couch to 5K, I should have done a half marathon training program to kind of.
And they do say that you have, it's block training, isn't it? So they talk about this a lot, where I was exactly the same as you. I literally just put my shoes on, downloaded an app, and I ran like a lunatic till it said stop for 2 minutes. And that's all I did. I didn't know anything about pace. And then it was only till I came onto Threads and on Running Threads, and there's so many nice people on there, and they're talking about pace and saying, you know, don't worry about your pace to start. Just, you know, walk, run, walk, run, walk, run, just to build up slowly and then get a proper...
I mean, looking back, I was going through this last week, looking back on my Strava when I was training for the Grey North Run, I was running like 8.5 minute kilometers. And it was like, I mean, I walk faster than that sometimes. It's just like, I just didn't have it. And then I'd look at another run and I would be running like 7.5 minutes and then 9-minute kilometer. Every single run that I did was just running at a different pace for various amounts of time. And I would just run. I wouldn't stop in between because you kind of get into your mindset that I'm going for a run, so I'm not going to walk.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep on running. And it's just kind of, that's what kind of frustrates you, isn't it?
And I think some people, you can't be afraid of that walk to start because it's all about building, you know, stamina, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got to do that to start because a lot of people see it as like, right, I've ran for 5 minutes and I can't run anymore. So they just give up because they think I'm rubbish at running. It doesn't come overnight. You know, I'm not as fast as you still, you know, and you're quite advanced now with yours, you know, you're doing 10K, so on and so forth. But yeah, it's, you can't get downhearted about it. You've got to really just focus and it does come through eventually.
Yeah, and it kind of gets in your head because then you kind of think, is it something that I'm doing? And it's just like, you can see other people. I mean, I live in a main road and if I'm working with mom, I'm sat at the window and the amount of people that run up and down the road. And it's just like, people out there running, why can't I do it kind of thing? And it kind of just, it's more frustration than anything else. And I was thinking, it can't be that hard if others, you see all these people doing it, running the half marathons, running the 10Ks, doing park running, all this stuff. And you get out there and you struggle to run a 3K sometimes. I mean, there would be times where I would run out and I would have no trouble running a 5K. And then there would be times that I went out and I would be gasping for breath and needing to stop after like a kilometer. It was just,
yeah. So so did we get to the Great North Run? Did we?
Well, hit and miss because it was September 22 that I did it. So it was two days after the Queen died. So there was, even up to the Friday, we weren't aware whether it was going to happen or not. But yeah, it did happen.
And did we complete it? How did it feel?
We did. It was one of those experiences where it was just like, you know, I'm from Newcastle. So growing up with the Great North Run is kind of, it's in everybody, kind of everyone knows about it. You always go out to kind of watch it and whatever. But to run it was just, I mean, there's people like lying in the rows from the start to the end.
Mm.
It's just one of those.
And did you run the whole thing?
No. So you did
do a bit of walking, running. Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone was like, it's 13.1 miles, but in my head, I train in kilometers. So it was 21.1 kilometers. So it sounds more than it is.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, in my head, I was thinking it's only 4 or 5 kilometers. So I was kind of running for maybe 3 to 4 kilometers and then I would walk for a bit and then I would run again for a little bit. I finished up, my finishing time was 2 hours 48.
And that's running and walking. Yeah. I mean, that's nothing to be ashamed of, is it?
I was aiming for under 3 hours. I was behind the 2.5 hour pace for the first kind of quarter to half. So it was only the last half where I was just like, no, I need to slow down, enjoy. I think because of my first half marathon, I was more concerned about kind of just enjoying the experience, kind of soaking it all up. And I mean, it was
great. I've never done one, so I'm still a virgin in that sense. So it's something I want to do. And obviously, you know, I've spoke to you before and, you know, people are always saying to me, you've got to sign up for one because otherwise if you don't, you're never going to do it. So I might sign up and I might come with you. Because then I'll get a bit more confident because I think, right, I'm with Mal. Mal knows what he's doing.
I mean, it's definitely good to do. I mean, I was speaking to just people waiting in the queue to leave. I mean, they say you start at 11 o'clock, but I didn't cross the start line until gone 12. And just the people that you kind of get to speak to as you're waiting to leave. I mean, there's people of all abilities, all ages, and people who have run it for the first time, people who have run it kind of every year for the last God knows how many years. I mean, there were 60,000 people in it. I think it was maybe 55, but there were 60,000 of the one that's just gone in September. So it's just getting bigger and bigger. I'll enter the ballot again next year and hopefully I'll earn their place. But if not, then I'll do one of the Manchester half marathons where you don't have to enter a ballot. I'm determined to do another half marathon
soon.
Soon.
But I'm just focusing on building up that kind of.
So what's your local one? What's your local one now? What's your local marathon? Have you got one? We've got the Robin Hood. So we have the half and the full, the Robin Hood marathon. So do you have a local one?
Yes, so I'm from Newcastle, but living in Manchester. But so we have the Great Manchester Run in May, which is a 10K and a marathon. We've got the Manchester Half Marathon in October. But there's loads of little ones. I've been doing a couple of 10Ks just with the company Run Through, and they just do loads of 10Ks around kind of the local areas. The last one I did was just down at Media City, but they've started to push out just half marathons, just doing loops of like roads, just kind of closing off roads.
That's
and doing
great.
Like, 4 laps of it is like a half marathon.
Yeah, that's great.
So there's loads, but yeah, the main one, the Great Run, is the Great Manchester Run, which is in May.
So that's the one I might aim for. Then I might try and aim for a May, October. Come up to Manchester.
Yeah.
Nice hotel, and then meet up and we'll go for a run.
Yeah, so I'm doing the Great Manchester 10K this
year. Oh, you're doing it?
I'm not doing the half marathon. I did sign up for the half marathon last year, but I made the mistake of once finishing the Great North Run that I didn't run again from September to February.
Oh, so after the Great North Run, you just stopped running?
Yeah, after the Great North, as soon as I crossed that finish line, I was so in so much pain. It was just unbelievable. So my other half and my mum and my little boy met me at the finish line, and my other half had parked the car 3 kilometres away, so we had to walk 3 kilometres to the car after running a half marathon and driving back to Manchester straight away. And then my legs just kind of seized up on the Monday, and that kind of just put me off doing any more training. And I mean, it's my stupid mistake. I just decided that I wasn't going to. I had done the Great North Run. That was it, really.
You completed it. That's it.
I've done it. Yeah. And it was only when I had a health scare at the beginning of this year that kick-started my kind of journey that I'm on at the minute.
Okay. So what do you mind touching on that? I know it's personal and it's...
No, it's a lot, but... Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, I thought I had a check. It was over the Christmas of 23. I thought I just had a bit of a chest infection, just put it down to being whatever. And I went to the GP to see something completely unrelated and kind of took one look at me, took some bloods and did my blood pressure and stuff, and just sent me for an urgent chest x-ray, and just... the bloods came back, my cholesterol was off the chart, my liver profile was all over the place, my kidney function was off, my height, my weight, and everything you could have said, down to the point that I was pre-diabetic with my glucose control, and that kind of was a bit of a shock that I wasn't expecting and didn't think I needed, but obviously when you're told that face-to-face by a doctor, that kind of spurred me on to the... my current kind of health kick to say that, I need to do something. And it was one of those things where in the past, I mean, like everybody, you all try to diet to lose weight, but diet are up and down. You can't sustain a diet when you do one of these diets to lose all this weight within a short period of time. You stop the diet, you put the weight back on. And it's just a cycle of up and down. So that's when running came back to it. I was like, right, I'm going to start.
You've got to be active. Your body truly needs. This is what I'm finding out when I'm speaking to other people. So a lot of people I've spoken to recently, who's either been on the podcast or they're coming onto the podcast because they have a little meeting beforehand.
Yeah,
they're all doctors they've spoken to about any sort of health issues. They've said to them, exercise. If you're running or walking 30 minutes or an hour a day, that is plenty for you to do. And it's so important. If you want to get those weight goals, and I'm sure, you'll explain your weight goals to us, you will lose that weight. You've just got to have a routine and a little bit of just commitment and self-belief, and you can lose the weight.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was going to be hard to start with because it was February. It was the beginning of the year. It was the nights were still a bit darker, and the last thing I wanted to be doing was trying to go out. But we bought one of our crazy lockdown purchases was a treadmill, so I just started again from scratch as a
well, I hadn't run for a year and a half, maybe whatever. So I was a non-runner again, which is how I kind of seen it.
Well, it does, doesn't it? If you stop, you are literally starting again because you haven't got it, it's not there anymore.
Yeah, because when I've spoke to other people before and they've asked me about my running, I was just like, yeah, I'm a total non-runner. And they're like, well, what's the farthest distance you've run? And I'm like, well, I've done a half marathon. And they're like, well, you're not a non-runner, are you? And you ran out.
Yeah.
It's 3 years ago now to do an ultra run that I did it. So, but February this year, I put myself just down to being a total non-runner. My weight was tipping on 80 kilos. My BMI was touching 30, and it was just, I had started to snore because of the weight, and I remember that well.
Not as in you snoring, but myself, I was exactly the same with that. It was after I lost my dad, I ballooned in weight. It was a slow and steady pace of building weight because he was poorly. And I think I was comfort eating, drinking far too much. My BMI was the same about 30, then it was about 29, 28, and he stuck on 28 for a while. And that's when I decided, then I thought, I'm not going to be alive for much longer if I carry on like this. Like, I need to make some drastic changes.
It was the fact that I don't drink a lot, and I just kind of have drinks, you know, like socially.
Or whatever.
But the GP asked me, because of my liver function, how much I drank. She literally thought I was drinking like every day because my liver function had gone off that much. And it was just, I think that was the shock and the scare of that, which, as I said, spurred me on to kind of do something about it.
Yeah. So with your treadmill then, so obviously you start running streak again. Did you had anything else in? Did you do any sort of other training? When did you move outdoors? Did you notice any difference in mindset?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that was going through my head is that I just didn't feel confident to just go straight back outside running. So the treadmill was a good thing to kind of build up my confidence just to get used to running again. I started off on the treadmill just doing HIIT exercises. So I would run for like a minute at a really fast pace and then just walk for a minute. And I would just do cycles of that, maybe 10 cycles. And I would do that 3 times a week for a couple of months. I started this in the February. I didn't go outside until the July.
Wow.
I was doing that for a good few months to kind of build up my confidence.
So you sort of kept the winter months away on the treadmill, build your stamina back up with sort of like tempo runs, which I think they're called that. I think that's the running term, tempo runs, something like that.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And then, you moved out. So when you moved outside, did your running form improve? Was your mindset better? What was the next step with that?
Yeah, I mean, even still when I ran outside, I still didn't have any idea of pacing or whatever. I did when I was doing my plan for when I did the treadmill. I mean, I had Google, I just put in HIIT exercises on a treadmill, started watching videos on YouTube and just following those. But coming out after that, obviously I knew that I needed to do something a bit more structured. I upgraded my Apple Watch to a Garmin, signed up for another 10K in September, just gone, and then was just running the suggested routes and the suggested runs that my Garmin watch was telling me to do.
So people new to Garmin, because I'm new to Garmin. I don't use Garmin at the minute. I am still Apple. I'm going to ask Santa Claus this Christmas for one, definitely, because I'm starting to see that everybody seems to have really good sessions with Garmin. So do you, with Garmin, so you buy the watch, do you have a subscription for Garmin? Or is it a case of, do you just press the button, it maps your run, and then you end it?
So you can't put in, what I've done is the 10Ks, that I've signed up to 3 10Ks now. So I did one in September, then I've got another 3 coming up. But what you do is you put your run into the calendar on Garmin, and then your watch will then suggest daily workouts for you. You can go onto the calendar, you can put in your goals. So I did a 10K in September and got a 10K PB of 52 minutes 43. So I've put in for the one that I'm doing in December that I want to
my goal is to complete that 10K in 52 minutes.
Right, okay.
So the Garmin will suggest runs every day in order for me to get to that goal.
That's amazing. So does it know when you're struggling? So say, do you wear it at night? Is it right, I wear a watch?
Yeah, I wear it all the time.
Right. So if you are going to upgrade to a Garmin, and then really you don't want to wear an Apple Watch as well, because...
I suppose you could, but I mean, I don't think you'll get the, obviously, for it to get the metrics and stuff, it's designed to be worn 24/7. But it will adapt your runs. Like today, when I did my run yesterday, which was just a 53 minute kind of run at 7 minutes a kilometer, it said on my watch that today it was going to suggest a sprint run. But because I put in quite a lot of work yesterday, it's now changed that to a recovery day for today.
Right.
So it will adapt the suggestions based on what you've done the previous day.
Right. Okay. Because I use Whoop. So that's my one. A lot of people use now. I've used that for a long time since, God, I think it was like the second band they released. And that is very similar, where it will record your strain throughout the whole day. And so it's very similar to that, but it's just not, the Garmin's more running focused. So that's good. That's good to know. So you've entered multiple 10Ks to keep yourself motivated. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's been the most rewarding part of setting these kinds of goals? And did you feel, did you feel you were ready to do it? Like, do you feel ready now? So we've entering these 10Ks. Do you feel up to it? Have you finished one yet, or have you done one?
Yeah, so I did one in September. So it's similar going back to the Grey Nose Run when we were doing the Couch to 5K. It's one of those things where I had to have something in the calendar and kind of something to work for and something to aim for. Mm-hmm. So when I started doing it, my 10K PB was 1 hour 9 minutes. That was in February when I started. And again, similar to the Great North Run, I was just happy to kind of do a 10K and see where it got me and see what time it got me. My Garmin was suggesting that I at my physical kind of point of doing the 10K at the end of September, it was projecting that I would do it in 53 minutes 19. Mm-hmm. But I ended up doing it in 52:43.
That is brilliant.
So that was a 10K PB, which I wasn't expecting to get. And the thing that was kind of that I was the reason I was thinking of that is because when you do 10K with loads of other people, you're relying on the paces of the people in front of you to kind of. I was projecting that I was going to do worse than 53:19 because of not being able to overtake people or people slowing you down. But no, it was the other way. So
what? What was your pace? What was that?
I think that when I looked in my splits, I think my maximum pace was like 5:10. But
that's amazing.
I think I was running at about 5:30. I think,
and that is fast. That is fast because I mean, for me, I mean, I'm like I say, I'm very new to this, so I am building up slowly. But I'm around when I first started, it was about 15 because I was just so overweight. And then it's dropped to about 9, 8 now, maybe. So that is super fast, really.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of going back to what we were saying earlier about the Couch to 5K, about understanding running and kind of, if someone ever told me about 2 years ago that you run slow to run fast, then it would have kind of all made sense. And
yeah,
I would have. Oh yeah, it's one of those things that,
and I definitely that.
So I mean, going back to talking about my Garmin watch again, so it suggests all these base runs, which is like running at 7 minutes a kilometer, and like a year and a half ago, 7 minutes at the kilometer would be like a sprint, but now it's kind of really slow to me now, and it's kind of one of those things that 80% of my runs now are just slow runs. And I only do kind of a sprint run or whatever, like maybe once or twice a week.
I wonder why mine then is so, why is mine so high then? Because, you know, for when I'm doing my tempo, it must be just because I'm so unfit. Because my tempo, when honestly, you're saying that your 7 minutes is your slow run, you know, to just get built back up. But mine's like 13 and I'm walking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if I need to move away from this app and really get onto this Garmin. Because
yeah, a bit, yeah. I mean, I run my heart rate zones. They're all set at a percentage of my max heart rate.
Yeah.
So obviously, depending on how far, I mean, I set a new maximum heart rate when I did the 10K, so that adjusted all of my heart rate zones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I look forward, and I never thought I would be at the point where now when I look at my long run on a Saturday and it's an hour and 40 minutes, I'm just like, bring it on now. It's
yeah,
just like,
that's amazing.
And then, yeah, I mean, last weekend I was up at 4:30 in the morning and running into town and back and doing
yeah, I saw that. I think I inspired you a bit on that
you
one.
You did. That was the 5 a.m. 12. Yeah, I think it's begun to come a regular thing now for my long runs now. So
it's a lovely thing, though. It's once you've got out of bed,
yeah,
it's the hard bit. The run's the easy part because it's lovely. It's quiet. I saw a few foxes on the way. I ended up
running my commute, so I get the bus to work normally, but it's a good 10 kilometers, so I was kind of thinking, where can I run for an hour and 40 minutes? So I actually ran to work, and then that takes me through kind of Manchester city center, and then kind of running through Manchester city center at 6 o'clock in the morning where nobody's around, and the city's waking up and the sun was coming up, and it was just like, I'm going to do that again next week.
Yeah.
So that's my plan for Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Is to get out again for 5 a.m. and then run into town.
Yeah, that's the same as me. I'm going to really go for it this week, starting from, tomorrow, hopefully. But yeah, going back to the heart rate zones, because that's quite interesting. So not a lot of people know how to set them. So do you know how to set them? Because it's your age, isn't it? Minus your...
Yeah, I mean,
220 minus your age.
Yeah, which is meant to be your max heart rate. But I mean, everyone's got a for and against for everything. So if you were to Google that, I mean, you have a camp which says, yeah, that's the best thing to do. And then there's a camp that says that's not the best thing to do. And there's loads of other formula. I mean, I didn't really do anything. So I did a sprint run to get my maximum heart rate. And then my Garmin is set to adjust my pace zones at like 50 to 60% of my heart rate, then a zoner will be 70 to 80% of our heart rate. So it sets it all for me automatically.
So I wonder if mine's set wrong then, because I might have to do that, because I think my max heart rate is like 177, I think.
Yeah, so there's a website that you can put your maximum heart rate in, and it'll tell you what your zone should be.
Right, okay.
But I just run a percentage of heart rate, and I mean, I don't really run to heart rate. I tried running to heart rate, which everyone says you should run your slow runs to heart rate. But it was suggesting that I ran a base run at like 138 beats per minute. And sometimes I get up to that just kind of lightly walking. So it was really kind of, I mean, it's meant to be, I mean, they call it zone two running, and that's meant to be the way to go. But I run all my runs to pace now because I just find it better for me. It's just how I like to run, really.
So quickly going back to obviously your health scares and stuff like that. So
yeah,
did that affect your mental health? And was it, because like me, the reason I got back into the running was because I was struggling with my mental health, and the running really, really helped that. So was that, did all these health scares affect your mental health? Is there anyone else in your family that had any sort of issues that you may be thought, oh, do you know what? I need to make this change because I've got to do it.
Yeah, so my mum and my dad both have problems with their heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad I'm 45 now, before he was my age, I'd already had a quadruple bypass. My mum has recently had problems with her heart. She's having investigations for various echoes, and she has a slow heart rate, and she's being investigated for that. That was a bit of a kick. Obviously, when you tell that to the GP, they do all these risk scores and whatever, and my risk score of cardiac disease was quite high for my age. It necessarily didn't have an impact on my mental health, but I did use running when I was preparing for the Great North Run to help my mental health. I was off work for a couple of months due to panic attacks, anxiety, various things, and needed time off work. I needed to speak to counsellors and stuff about what had been going on. And so I did use running as a way of coping with that.
And running helped. Did you find it helped? It's helped me. I'm very open about my mental health. And I think the reason I am is because I want to help other people. So I'm on medication for mine. I was in a very bad way I can comfortably say now, but to the point where I was going to end it. I really was. It was very serious. And if it wasn't for my wife to say, you need to get that help, I'd have never gone. I'd have just probably, just gone. So I'm on the medication now. But I'm finding, when I was on the medication, it wasn't doing everything. I seemed a little bit better, but I'd have days where I was really, really down again. I didn't want to go to work. And, I was panicking all the time about the slightest things. Like, if I'd got a couple of days to pay a credit card, or I've got no milk in. It was just so strange. And now I'm running, that's gone. It's just...
I mean, speaking to my GP, she may have had an influence on starting medication or not, so to speak, but she was very against it. Mm. She was determined. She was right, but she was certain that it was just an acute episode, and
that's good.
We could deal with it without having to go down the medication route. So she recommended I spoke to counsellors, which I did through work, and then got out, and I use running as a focus to kind of break up my day, something to aim for, something to wake up for, something to do, and then the sense of achievement when you've done something. That helped me through that, and thankfully, touch wood, I've not had any issues from that side of things for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and that, so now you're full on running. I'm watching you all the time.
I think it's become one of those things where it's, like, you've become a runner, and it's just kind of, I would never have thought, like, two years ago that you would want to be getting out and running. And
And I see you as a friend. I know we've not met personally, but I do see you as a friend. Like, I really am interested in your journey, and I see you everywhere. I see you everywhere. You're on everything. Every time I open Threads or Instagram, you're there.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things, and it's like, yes. I mean, I've had to separate my Threads now to it because it's one of those things that you don't want your normal friendly people to kind of, it's like, he's always banging about.
He's out running again.
Yeah, so now I give people the option, if they want to listen, they can subscribe. If they're not, then it's just stick with the boring stuff.
So what's your handle? What's your handle now then for your running one?
So on Instagram and on Threads now, it's at the runner Mal.
At the runner Mal. Okay.
Yeah. I have reserved the YouTube channel, but I've not gone back far yet. But I just thought, if I'm kind of redoing it, I've got it there. If I decide to kind of document my kind of journey through vlogs or videos or whatever, but I've not. But yeah, it's mainly Threads and Instagram at the minute. Yeah.
And it's nice. It keeps you accountable, because I think people notice when you're not posting runs. Like Staffan said, he in his blog, he was running at a certain pace every day, and he was getting faster. And then when his friend died, he stopped. So he was just going out for runs just to try and get over the grief and so on and so forth. And his friends were saying, something's not right here. You're not running as fast. Are you okay? And that's such a lovely thing. Like,
it definitely helps the kind of the social media type of things. I mean, obviously you follow people from all abilities and from all over the world and stuff. And it's definitely when you post that you've done a run and everyone's kind of responded and whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely egged me on. And
yeah, that community is so nice. It's, and I go back to, I say it in every episode, it's, runners are so supportive of each other. So yeah. if you want to get into exercise and, you know, you want to lose a bit of weight and you want to feel better mentally, and then running is definitely the one. You know, you have park runs, which are on at the weekends, which I do. And that's really helped me. I've met lovely people from there, just random people coming up and talking to you, wanting to know your journey. It's amazing. So with advice now, because I always try and get some advice from people that I've started from really not knowing anything about running to now. So let's go back to 2021 and give advice to someone who hates running but wants to give it a try. What is your advice that you've learned? A thing, I wish I'd have done it that way.
Just do it. Be persistent. I mean, as I said, Couch to 5K is a good place to start. Now they're social media again. I mean, lots of places now do kind of local running groups, which is good to start. I mean, there's a one that's local to me, which I've not yet kind of gone out, but they post on their kind of Facebook page that they do it for all abilities. They have three runs on the day of the groups for all abilities to do. Yeah. But I think if you're kind of thinking about it, just kind of get out and do it. And I think once you've done that first run, it kind of continues from there. But definitely for someone who's new, who's looking to do it, is the Couch to 5K is where I started. And I mean, even though we had a love-hate relationship, I still recommend if I see on social media someone's asking about starting running, I still recommend the Couch to 5K.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that is definitely good.
Maybe do a little bit of Googling, as we've talked about pace and how fast you should be running and whatever, but it's definitely good for the structure. Yeah. I mean, my other half has seen my running, and he's now into week four of the Couch to 5K.
Is he?
And he never ran before. So just being around other people.
So he wants to get involved now. God, I might be running with two of you now.
Yeah, well, being around, I think running around other people that run is probably the best kind of mindset to get into. But as I said, I mean, we've talked about how useful social media has been, and
it's positive, because it's not, you know, social media 90% of the time is so toxic and negative. It is.
But yeah,
it seems that on threads, on the running threads,
yeah,
it's really nice.
Yeah.
Like, and as you said,
we wouldn't be talking here today if it wasn't for that. So
yeah. And you've got to remember that it doesn't matter how good you are at running, you still have crappy runs. You can still have a day where you go out and think, I hate this. It's sunshine and rainbows.
It's not. And I saw somebody which kind of was a good advice to someone. Obviously, we've just recently had the kind of the Berlin Marathon and the Chicago Marathon, and somebody kind of posted that a 2-hour marathon is still the same distance as a 6-hour marathon. And it's just kind of just run your own race kind of thing.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, just get out there. But yeah, that has been brilliant, Mal. Please, everyone, give him a follow at The Runner Mal to follow his journey, because it is very, very interesting. He inspired me, like many others I've spoken to recently. The episode will be on the website, paceyourselfpodcast.com. It's going to be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and then all the remaining podcast feeds. It's been lovely to speak to you, Mal. I will continue to follow you, and we'll try and organise something and get one of these runs
together. Grant, it's been good chatting.
Yeah, all right, Mal. Take care. Lovely to speak to you. Bye-bye.
Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.